Hi, everyone. This is John Frank, Editorial Director of PL Buyer, welcoming you to this latest PL Buyer podcast. This podcast is one of a series we've been doing with Patrick Rodmel, President and CEO of Watt International, a Toronto-based integrated retail agency with more than 40 years of experience in more than 40 countries. Patrick also is a guest columnist with PL Buyer and is co-chair of our new Best of Design Excellence Awards this year, which are recognizing the best in private label packaging design. Join us this November 14th, which is a Monday evening, at PLMA's annual trade show here in Chicago when we announce the winners of the Design Excellence Awards. Patrick will be there, as will our staff of PL Buyer, and we'll be holding a special awards ceremony that Monday evening. Stop by our booth at the show to get your free ticket. Returning to the podcast, today we'll be discussing Patrick's 10 Keys to Private Brand Success, the topic of the columns he's been writing for PL Buyer this year. Specifically, we'll be looking at key number 10, execute in the store. Hi, Patrick. Thanks for joining us today.
Nice to be with you, John.
Good to have you, as always. We're focusing today on key number 10, execute in the store, as I said. And we spoke a few podcasts back about going the last mile. This key number 10 relates to that, doesn't it? You can have the best private label strategy in the world, but in the end, it comes down to tactics and store execution, doesn't it?
Well, John, it really does. You know, when people talk of strategy, we often say that, you know, while it's very important to have a strategic framework and a sort of the ground rules laid out, execution is what it's all about. And, you know, to make another analogy, if I may, it's kind of like running a marathon. Mm-hmm. You know, often it comes down to the last 100 yards. You know, you can put the 26 miles of effort behind you, but if you can't get across the finish line, you know, then the end result doesn't realize itself. So in the context of retail, we kind of equate that last 100 yards to the point of purchase, you know, which is, of course, in the store, but frankly also includes the way that a private brand is presented through the marketing and advertising. So it is, execution to us is critical, if not perhaps more so than having the right strategy.
It's kind of like that finishing kick when you're racing, isn't it? You have to have something left to get that final kick to make it to the finish line.
Well, absolutely, you know, and it's making sure that all the pieces of the puzzle were put together properly, you know, and if that the product's on the shelf in the right place, that the, you know, that you don't use faulty cardboard in the printing process, and of course, getting the store associates to really embrace the private label and making sure that it gets the credit it deserves at the point of purchase in the store.
One of the things I liked about your column was that you looked beyond the store itself, though. You started out by looking at what you call the path to purchase. Let's start there by discussing what to look for along that path, and maybe for our listeners, define what you see as that path to purchase.
Well, I heard a great analogy a while ago, which is that, you know, that the path to purchase, that is the point at which someone goes from being a consumer, quite literally meaning when they are consuming a product, so using it at home, they're eating cereal, they're using a razor in their bathroom or what have you, to the point where they are a purchaser or shopper. And really, there is a very distinct tipping point where someone moves from consumption to shopping behavior. A great analogy is, you know, the point at which you run out of shampoo in your shower is the point you go from being a consumer to a purchaser. So really, you know, because as soon as you run out, you're thinking of, what do I need to do to replace this? Was I satisfied with the product? Where did I buy it? Was my family happy with it? Things of that nature. So understanding that the path to purchase starts from the moment you transition from consumption to the consideration of buying is really critical to understanding how to influence shopper behavior. Throw on top of that, of course, all of this new mobile technology, you know, the smartphones and how people can get access to information anytime, anywhere, and it really has changed that path to purchase. It used to, you know, there was more of a linear path previously before we interrupted that process with mobile technology. So it all starts when consumption ends.
So the mobile piece of this is obviously a big part of that path now.
Yeah, it is, and I think when you take a look at, you know, what's going on that path, and specific to private brands, that's where you look at the message that happens outside of the store. For example, on a company's website, or if they have a mobile app, how is private label treated in those applications? In a more traditional medium like the flyer, does it appear as a hero within the context of those presentations? That's execution just as much as how it sits on the shelf.
Okay. And while you've sort of moved us into the store, let's talk a little more about the shelf and being on the shelf. What makes for proper execution of private label in a store?
In the store, well, frankly, John, it actually starts when you're outside the store. That is to say, you know, if you went to a retailer, one things we look for is there any promotion of private brands visible from the exterior of the store? Mm-hmm. For example, is there a poster as you enter? Is there, what type of exposure does private brands have? In fact, as I'm coming towards the shopping experience, how about when you first walk in? Is there a well-merchandised display when you first walk in? Are private label products visible at that first point of entry from when you enter the store, either through signage or even better, through some type of merchandise display?
Mm-hmm.
Are there examples of unique products? You know, is there a sampling table that talks about unique and new products within that range? We talk a lot about the return policy, you know, private label guarantees and overcoming any of those, you know, those quality reservations that customers might have. Really, a return policy or a guarantee policy is pretty critical to endorsing and supporting a position of quality. So is it just simply buried on the back of the label, or is it something that the company is willing to stand behind in a more profound way? These are some of the things you get down to, I guess, more tactical execution in the store, like where is it on the shelf? Are private label products at eye level or are they at ankle level? You know, is there some sort of rules and regulations around the actual planogramming of private label, and how well is that executed in store? Are the store associates buying into and believing in it and actually adhering to those kind of processes? And lastly, John, forgive me, the store, it's all about the store associate. Right? If you go into a store and you ask a store associate about a private label, what's their response? Are they enthusiastic and support trial of private label, or do they simply say, that's our own brand, take it or leave it? They can be very influential in that execution.
I was going to say, we talked in an earlier podcast about turning those employees into brand ambassadors. That all fits in here as well, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. You know, execution is about people, and it's about the people response, and it's about the in-store response. So how well, once we've set our game plan, once we've established our strategy and put our rules together, how well are those plans executed? And frankly, what are the mechanics that a retailer adopts to ensure that execution is there? You know, I'm still amazed by a number of retailers who, you can look at the documents that have all of the foundations for a terrific approach to private label, but you go into the store or you go to their website and it just falls through on the execution front.
I was going to ask you if retailers are getting the message. It sounds like some aren't. Some are. What are the ones that are doing it right doing that really stands out?
Well, you know, it's funny, John. You can see a pretty strong correlation between those that have high penetration numbers of private label and those who are getting the execution piece down right. You know, when we do our audits or international best practices, clearly you look at the United Kingdom and in England with retailers like Tesco, Sainsbury's, and Asda, they really get it. If you look at the way they promote, they talk about what their brands stand for on their websites. It gets down to that level of execution throughout the overall business mechanism. Here in North America, you've got companies like Loblaws. I think they still do a very good job of execution, and Wegmans. Those are two examples we look at and say these are companies that you may not agree with the execution. That is to say, you may say, "Oh, I would have done that differently," but there's definitely a commitment from the organization to the rigor around proper execution, both in their store and at the shelf. Absolutely.
And doesn't it comes down to excitement for the product, doesn't it? I mean, there. It seems like people now want more than just to shop in a store. They want some excitement there. I mean, there are several new chains now that are really trying to make it fun to shop again and make private label fun. I mean, it may not sound businesslike, but it generates interest, doesn't it, in a product?
John, absolutely. I mean, like Trader Joe's is one of my favorite examples of that. You know, their stores are almost exclusively private label within. But even in that context of what some may consider to be a lack of selection, that is to say, it's a small format store, and you don't have that variety of choice that you may find in a larger store. They still have that great sense of discovery, of excitement and passion in a fairly modest small format, extensively built around private labels. So it's, you know, that's, as people are looking for that excitement in the store, Trader Joe's is a great business to look at to say, see how they build that excitement and enthusiasm through their product programs.
There are stores doing it with fresh products. I mean, there's a new chain here in the Chicago area, Mariano's, which is owned by Roundy's out of Milwaukee. They have a great emphasis on made-in-store foods and fresh products, but they also have private label there, so it's sort of good news by association, isn't it, if you're in a store where people are excited to come in and buy a slice of pizza or work, you know, walk the salad bar, that sort of thing. It helps the private label eventually, too, doesn't it?
Well, think of it this way, John. When somebody leaves a store, the only thing they take with them is the products they bought. And when they get home, the real extension of a company's brand is seen through the products in the store. Now, if I have a national brand, that product can come from anywhere. But if I can get my private label into the refrigerators and pantries of consumers, I have a chance of continuing the story beyond simply the experience they had in the store. We always like to say that whether it's about the store or the private label program, we want the brand to become part of the conversation around the dinner table. That is to say, you know, if I can get a private label product sitting on the counter or sitting on the dinner table and get a story about where it came from, its origins, how good it tastes, the branding, the clever way it's presented through packaging and branding, all of that is about building stories with your consumers, with your loyal shoppers. So absolutely, people are looking for those kinds of relationships, and private label can be a profound opportunity. Fresh is a great example of that.
Well, great. Well, I've really enjoyed this 10-step journey we've taken together. We are at the last key now. Can you sum it all up for our listeners? What are you hoping they learn from this series of these 10 steps, 10 keys to brand development?
Well, you know, I guess from what they can learn, it's, John, as I've mentioned before, our business has been in the business of helping to create private brands and build and nurture private brands for over 30 years now. And, you know, we've done it well, and we've run into some challenges, and we've seen it done well, and we've seen businesses that struggle a bit. So really the 10 keys are about crystallizing our thinking around what's important in building private brands. So I guess what I'd like to do is encourage all listeners to review all 10 keys, and in fact, either in a scientific format or even in an anecdotal one, grade themselves. Think of each of the keys about strategic brand positioning, about product innovation, about associate engagement, and have a dialogue within the business about what we're doing well and which areas we need to improve. That's really what this is all about, is to help people hopefully identify the key areas they need to improve to drive private brand success.
So time for them to do a little self-examination here and see how they stack up with these 10 keys and what areas they need to work on.
Go ahead. Absolutely, John, or forgive the shameless self-promotion, or speak to a company like ours who can maybe help them with the 10 keys as well. So
right.
Self-examination is great, and but one way or the other, use the framework to say, where are we succeeding, where do we need to improve, and how do we go about the journey to private brand success?
That's a good point. Self-examination should always be followed by talking to an expert, and that's, of course, what you are and what WAD International is. So I'm sure people will want to talk to you more after they've read your 10 points and listen to these podcasts.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate the accolades.
Well, thanks, Patrick. Thanks for joining us today. Well, that's all the time we have, so let me say thanks again, and thanks to our listeners, and I invite them all to listen to all of our PL Buyer podcasts with Patrick and other industry leaders by visiting our website, privatelabelbuyer.com, where you can listen to and download these podcasts. We will be at the PLMA trade show here in Chicago in mid-November. We will be doing podcasts from the show. Patrick will be there with us giving out our Design Excellence Awards. As I mentioned, that ceremony is Monday evening, November 14th, beginning at 6:15. Stop by our booth, the PL Buyer booth at the PLMA show. We have tickets there if you'd like to attend. We hope to see you all. And again, Patrick, thanks very much, and goodbye.
Thanks, John. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.